The main character of this game is truly metal, hacking the world and hearts alike. We're discussing the game Horizon Zero Dawn, and yes, it did take me 6 years to realize that Zero Dawn is probably a zero-day pun, but that is besides the point. In this episode, I give a horrible summary, Chloe gushes about dinosaurs, and there's a bit of New Age preaching somewhere in here too. Beware of spoilers for the game!
Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And that is Val's fan.
It's my computer fan.
Yeah, fun times.
It's my biggest fan.
Today we will be discussing the 2017 action role-playing game Horizon Zero Dawn, developed by Guerrilla Games. This game is one of my favorite games of all time. And I actually got a PlayStation 4... not just to play this game, but it was definitely one of the selling points of getting a PlayStation 4.
I was pretty excited about this game.
Did you play it on PC or PlayStation?
PlayStation 4.
Okay.
It came out.
Nice. I played it a year after it came out, but it's just such a good game. And I think before we get into this, I just want to note that we'll probably talk about spoilers because it's hard not to. I don't think we're going to talk too much about Forbidden West, maybe briefly.
Yeah, because I didn't play it, so I wouldn't know where to start with that.
Yeah, Val has not played it. I have played it, but we're going to focus on Zero Dawn. But we might talk about, like, the big reveal. I don't know, it might come up. And also, we're going to rag on Ted Farrow a lot, so...
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, so with that in mind, with that spoiler warning, yeah, let's get started. And I don't know why I just froze on the inside, but I am frozen inside and I don't know what to say next.
Well,
Val, take it away.
Sure. First of all, it stars Ashley Birch.
Yes.
Who Chloe is a huge fan of.
And Lance Reddick, who I'm also a big fan of.
I'm also a big fan of Birch. She's really funny on Dungeons and Daddies, which is a D&D podcast.
Very funny on everything. Did you ever watch Hey Ash, What You Playing?
I've seen a few of them, yeah. Okay. It has its own sort of humor, but it is hilarious.
I feel like it's a little early to mid-2000s humor at points. Like, there's definitely just a lot of things where, like, the joke is sex happen. Is like, the idea of sex existing is the joke, which I feel like is very, like, 2009 internet humor.
Yeah, it's a very time-specific sort of web series.
Yes.
But I really enjoyed the few of it that I've watched.
Yes. Ashley Birch is excellent in everything she does. And I do think Hey Ash, What You Playing still has some pretty good jokes. It's just something I would note. Like, if you go back and you're just like, I don't really get it, I don't get this, like, I think that's okay. It made more sense 15 years ago, I think. That was the humor.
Yeah.
Back then. Back in the old days.
I've seen a few very recently and they're still okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not bad.
I'm just thinking about, I think, the Saints Row one.
I haven't seen that one.
Okay. Really, just the whole thing is just the idea of sex existing is a joke. And it's just like, I don't know. It feels very, like, quaint. It feels like very, like, and I know Saints Row came out in 2012, but it feels very, like, Bush era, like, sex is, like, taboo, so talking about it is a big deal, and, like, I don't know. Anyway, we're not here to talk about, hey, Ash, what you play in.
We're here to talk about Aloy.
Aloy, who...
Who Ash is playing.
Ash is playing. Oh, gosh.
But yeah,
that was pretty good.
Gain inspiration. Can I actually gain an inspiration?
No.
Damn it. Okay. So basically, this game is set in the fairly decent future.
The decent future. It's the 31st century.
Yeah, like, decently in the future.
You know, a thousand years and decent are synonyms of each other.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for understanding.
Okay, yeah.
And the planet at this point is completely restructured and reformed because humanity has fallen after a cataclysm and has rebuilt itself in this new form.
Yes, and there's robot dinosaurs.
There's robot dinosaurs and all the cool stuff. And
The world has gotten considerably cooler.
Yeah. And yes. Much more nature-y.
Yes.
But basically,
but also robot dinosaurs.
Also, yeah, they're pretty good. We follow Aloy, who is a young woman living in this tribe in
the Nora.
Yeah, the Nora. And she's kind of a... She likes to explore, and the Nora have a lot of fairly strict rules.
Well, she's an outcast at the beginning.
Yeah, because they have very strict rules and kind of haven't accepted her into the tribe. And
I mean, I gave the spoiler warning. You can explain why they didn't accept her.
I don't remember. What did she do?
No, because she... The reason why they don't
she walked trust from Aloy... The thing. Didn't she come out of that scary place that they don't like?
Yeah, so the Nora are built around a mountain. It's implied to be the Rocky Mountains, and they have like a deity that they call the All Mother. And I think they, if I remember correctly, the mountain itself has like a metal hatchway that leads into some forgotten facility, and they worship kind of that hatchway as the All Mother. And Aloy was, she was cloned in this facility, and then, you know, left outside it by the machines because they couldn't go further. And the people discovered her. And for some reason, because she didn't have like normal parents, they treated her as if she was like a demon child, basically.
Yeah, she's scary. She just appeared out of nowhere.
Right.
But basically, this young woman who is cloned from a very, very important scientist who had a lot to do with the world kind of
dying. Do you remember her name? I'm putting you on the spot here.
As you should. It's Sobek is all I remember,
Elizabeth,
which is weird.
Sobek.
How do I know the last name and not the first name?
Elizabeth Sobek. Yes.
And Lizzie really did a number on the planet with the help of Ted.
She did not cause it. It was all Ted.
It was all Ted. She built the stuff. He just misused it.
No. You are giving... You're assigning a lot of blame to Elizabeth here, I think.
Look, she did her very, very best
to
preserve and save the world.
Yeah.
But she had a lot to do with the technology.
He
manipulated her into a lot of things.
Yes. Ted Farrow is basically Elon Musk and basically thought in his hubris. Hubris? I feel like I'm saying it wrong.
No, hubris.
Hubris. Thought that, like, oh, we'll make these AI-powered machines, and then, you know, rather than, and we'll sell them to the military, and then, you know, so that they don't have to refuel, and to make them greener, we won't have them be powered by electricity or gas, instead they can just use biofuel, and then the machines become, they bug out, and they just start turning everything into biofuel, which is every living
thing. Everything is biofuel when it's living.
Yeah, thanks, Ted Farrow.
Damn it, Ted. And he committed light murder as well.
Just a mild genocide of, you know, 10 billion people, I think would probably be the population of Earth in the near future at that point, so.
But also some light murder. He killed the scientists.
He does some and there's
with
some more stuff.
With his own two hands, he actually kills some people, and then with all of his other actions, he dooms the planet, is basically...
I just want to say one thing about Forbidden West, real quick. You learn more stuff about Ted Farrow, and one thing I don't like is they make him almost cartoonishly evil. Like, one thing I really like about Zero Dawn is that, like, yes, he is a murderer, and he's definitely a sociopath, but he's, like, very grounded, and, like, he has a philosophy that he's living by. It's a really corrupt and awful philosophy, but that is how he exists in this world. And I just like that, like, even though you hate him, and though everything that's happening in the game is 1,000 years separated from everything that happened in the past, you know, like, you really don't like Ted Farrow by the end of it, if you've been paying attention to all the, like, documents and audio logs you find. But, like, you still kind of... He's not just, like, a mustache-twirling guy who's like, I'm going to make the doomsday weapon. No, he, like...
He's a prophet-chaser.
Yeah, he had motivations, and he had a philosophy that he was living by, even though it was really bad. I really like that Ted Farrow is a little more multidimensional than just, I don't know, I feel like the sequel does not handle Ted Farrow quite as well as the first game does. But I won't say anything more about Forbidden West, sorry. I said I wasn't going to.
Nah, it's all good. But basically, they create Apollo, which is the system that got corrupt and destroyed the world. And then Elizabeth created Gaia, which is a second program, a second AI, I guess.
No, it wasn't Apollo.
Huh?
No.
Hades.
Hades did not destroy the world.
Then what's Apollo? Why did you make me do the summary? I don't remember this game that detailed.
Okay, I'll do the summary. I'll hand it off from here because I didn't realize. So, basically,
I have ADD. I just played for the open world and the cool little areas.
There wasn't like a Greek god name for the swarm of bots that devoured the world. That cataclysm. You do learn some of the like names of some of the like machines that were part of that, but like. Basically, it didn't have like a formula, like it was called like the something something swarm or something like that. But then Elizabeth, her plan, the plan called Zero Dawn, was that they engineered a set of AIs that would recreate the world after this cataclysm.
Oh, that's right. That was Apollo.
Apollo was the teaching AI that was supposed to teach humanity all the stuff they had forgotten, but Ted Farrow sabotaged it and deliberately like deleted it because he had this thought that like, well, if we teach them everything we know, they'll just make the same mistakes that we already made. So he sabotages Apollo. Hades is a system that's designed as a failsafe. It's not actually evil, it's just designed that if something goes wrong with the other systems, rather than letting everything in the ecosystem spiral out of control, instead it just says, okay, you know, like the conditions on Earth are wrong, so wipe everything, set up a clean slate, and then try again. So Hades is just like the error checker that like if the file is corrupted on your computer would like delete it and then try recopying again. That's all Hades is. But Hades spirals out of control during a thing that is called the derangement that happens shortly before Horizon Zero Dawn begins and has gone out of control and is trying to kind of delete everything, all living stuff on the world, and is driving all the dinosaurs, robot dinosaurs, crazy.
That's why you work with computers.
Yes.
That's to make right.
The robot dinosaurs.
That's right. I forgot about that part of the game. I just remember that Hades is the bad robot, and then Gaia is like the neutral robot, and there was an Apollo. I don't remember what that fella did.
Apollo wasn't there because it was destroyed. Yeah.
That was a good explanation.
Yes. And there were other AIs. There was like Artemis and Hephaestus, and you know, like they all controlled a terraforming subsystem. And they're supposed to work in unison to, like, make the world a good place again. And the big kind of reveal of the game, if I can just throw that out there, is that humanity didn't survive. All life on Earth was extinguished. The humans that exist now were, like, reconstituted from, like, you know, collected genetic material. Mm-hmm. And then kind of resurrected after the robots had devoured the Earth, and then the brute force cracking algorithm to crack the AI finally succeeded, and they were able to shut down the swarm, and then they could start repopulating the Earth. But all of humanity was extinct at that point. So this is like a whole new thing, and that's the big reveal, is that like, because I think for a lot of the game you think like, oh,
some how did human yeah some and what happened
yeah. Yeah, like, why did they lose all their stuff? Why is this no one know about anything? Because existence is really, like, it feels really like Stone Age in a lot of ways, even though there's robots, but very tribal focused, and the communities are pretty small. And it's like, why did we lose all this knowledge? And then that's the big reveal, is that, like, humanity was extinct. And
they didn't lose it. They just never had it.
Yeah. How did you feel Can I ask when you got to that reveal?
Honestly, by that point, it kind of like didn't matter to me. I thought it was cool. I was more excited to meet the last place, resting place that Elizabeth was at. That was like the thing that excited me a lot. Because I, like, connected more to
my heart. You're breaking my heart here, Val.
It wasn't that it was obvious. It was just that by that point, the explanation was so long. As you can see, I spaced out for a lot of it. I did like the story of how Aloy came to be. Like, that was very interesting. And us kind of seeing the facility was fun. But that was early on.
Did you read all the side materials and whatnot?
I think some of them I read. Yeah. But not all.
Because it was so heart-wrenching to me, because in the very first part of the game, you learn about the idea of Zero Dawn existing, and you learn about how everyone was super depressed, and you don't really know why that was. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you know, 3/4 of the way through the game, you learn it was because they knew that they were building something that they were never going to get to see, that they were all going to get wiped out.
Yeah, that
was very sad. Yeah, and it just, like, the moment you find that, you're like, oh my god. So all those points where the people were talking about how suicidal they were and how there was no point, it's because they knew, you know, and then you also come across people who were talking about Zero Dawn, and they, you know, only a few people were told what it actually was. And so people who think it was like this effort to create like an underground vault, or, you know, like a space arc, or, you know, something along those lines. And these people who just died thinking that they were saving the human race, and maybe they kind of did, but not in the way they thought.
Yeah.
And to me, that was really heart-wrenching. I got there and I just, like, some of those moments where I was just like, oh my god.
You see, it was, the thing is, like, all the voice messages that we hear throughout the game,
yeah,
they already destroyed me. Because no matter what, like, those are the voices of people who died.
Yes.
Right? So I was already at that kind of, like, in that emotional state at that point of, like, okay, everything we hear in the past are of people who have been involved in this and are no longer here. So already I was super bummed.
Yeah.
And so, like, that reveal of the entirety of humanity, it didn't hit as hard for me personally. Yeah. But, like, it's still a bummer, you know? Bad vibes.
So anyway, that's kind of the... Sorry, you were going to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, yeah, that's kind of like the story. But there's a reason we're talking about this game.
Yeah.
It's because Aloy flirts with anything that moves.
Aloy? Okay, so...
She does it so badly. So very, very badly.
Because she's an outcast and she's not great with people. But she is, she is a big flirt. I think the interesting thing that I really liked about Zero Dawn is that, like, there is no, like, canonical romance. In fact, there's no way to act on any of the flirting. And so Aloy, in my mind, despite being, like, this bisexual disaster flirty lady, is also kind of asexual. Like,
yeah,
I really like that. I really appreciate the fact that, you know, like, there didn't have to be any, like, I click the dialogue option and then the screen fades to black awkwardness that happens in a lot of games. Like, no, she can flirt with people, and she does, and then that's just that. But she's got bigger things to worry about, so I don't know, there's no shoehorned awkward romance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that, and it was really, really fun to see, like, all the different types of people really, really thirst after her.
Yeah.
And she is just, like, such a recluse. She's just, like, hanging out, having no idea what the world is like, because she was isolated in an isolated, closed society. And it's, like, double isolated. And now she's just out there kind of parkouring, and everyone's like, whoa. And I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, so we've got a few different, like, kind of flirty people. So I guess we should just, like, go through them, like, maybe one by one. Do you have a favorite? Let me start with that.
Yes.
I'm going to put you on the spot with names here.
Oh, I will not know the names at all.
Okay, just describe the person.
There is the Asian lady who looks like a bird who we rescue. That's really
Talena,
cool.
Talena Kena Patish.
I would not know.
I'll send you a picture. I don't think I said her two of three names right, but I think I said her first name right.
Yes, that one.
Yeah.
And the second one, who I unoccasionally liked a little more, was the one that's the engineer.
The guy?
No. The very, very shy woman from that engineering village.
Oh, Petra.
Yeah, Petra, with the hat. She has a hat, right?
She's got like a scarf
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
She was cool. I think she was very cool because she was like a little mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are like the two. Although I did like the sun guy. He was just like a fun little Chad.
I'm trying to find the woman I really liked. She was the spy, and I'm totally blanking on her name. Oh my gosh.
Spy.
Yeah, who was spying on the eclipse.
Let's see.
And then she helps you out. Vinasha.
Oh, yeah. She's cool.
Yeah, I think she was a spy. Wasn't she a spy?
I don't remember.
Yeah, she's a Karja spy in the Citadel. The Shadow Karja Palace at the capital Sunfall. Yep.
Yeah, she was really cool. And I liked, I'm only remembering the one guy.
I mean, you gotta remember her abs, though. Let me send you.
I remember. Yeah. I remember the
holy
abs, Chloe.
Holy moly.
Chloe, I remember them.
Okay.
They're probably the only thing I remembered about her, because I was like, someone had abs, but I don't remember who it is.
There's a few different guys. There's Varl, who is a fellow Nora, who's got big sidekick energy. Let me send you Varl.
Yeah, but didn't he have a girlfriend?
No, I think you're thinking of his sister, who dies during the proving.
Oh, that's probably it. Okay.
Yeah. There's Erend, who's like the big hard drinking guy, blacksmith.
Oh yeah, he was just my bud though.
Like your drinking buddy. Like there isn't anything kind of too romantic about their relationship. And then there's Avad, the Sun King.
I think that guy's the one that I remember. Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, yeah, he gets very flirty.
Yeah. Also, I really liked his quests.
He is like, I don't know, every time I meet like any kind of like king or nobility in a game, I'm just like, they're either going to be, you know, like super cool or the worst. And it's just like a flip of a coin. And I don't know, I feel like he started off, I was like, oh God, this guy's just some pampered king guy. But he really grows on you.
Yeah, I liked him. Yeah, he's like at first kind of like just this powerful dude, and then you're like, oh, he's a nerd.
Yeah.
He has such nerd energy.
Yeah.
And Aloy is still a very solid 10 to all of them, and I find that hilarious. It's so funny. Every time, like, Shepard, for example, in Mass Effect, like, dork. No matter how you play them. Evil, nice, always dork. And all of these people are just, like, in love with them. And the same thing in this game. We play, like, a loser. She doesn't know how to talk to people. She just kind of, like, climbs trees. And everyone's like, I want to hold her hand.
She's very good at killing robots, though, which...
And also hacking. You know, she can hack the world.
That's true. She's an expert hacker. That's what draws her to the attention of Silence, played by Rance Reddick, rest in peace, who I feel like Silence is such a good character, because you're just like, he's just so weaselly, and you never quite know what side he's on, and you just, I don't know, you just love, like, every moment he's on the screen, you both want to, like, punch him, but he's also always doing things to help Aloy.
I know, I hated that guy so much.
Oh,
but she would have been dead without him.
Yeah, I know. It's just like he rescues her from this Shadow Karja in the arena, and like, but then it turns out he's the one who basically set up the eclipse. And like, I don't know, it's just like everything that he helps with is also something that he like caused. And so it's just like constant, like, I don't know. I think about like, it's really hard to do a character who is truly like lawful neutral, I would say, call not even lawful neutral, maybe just true neutral. He's truly neutral. He has one thing that he is interested in, and he will do both good and bad things to get there, and he will hurt people, he will help people.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, because like
he's
not necessarily slimy about it.
No,
which is usually what these sort of characters end up being.
And he won't go out of his way to screw people over, but he just doesn't really seem to care if someone is screwed over.
Doing his thing. Everyone else is a side character.
Yep.
I really liked him too. He was like a frustrating villain in a way that was kind of very satisfying. Like, yeah. We needed his help. There wasn't, like, a lot of times, you know, there can be like a villain and like we need their help and we do a thing, but it's not as convincing as this guy was.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really, really interesting sort of like symbiotic relationship, because Aloy needed his help and she needed to know how to hack. And he's the one who allowed her to do everything, honestly.
Yeah.
Not to mention saving her.
He allowed to do that, like, I'm the puppet master, I'm feeding you little bits of information so you'll dance on my strings type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just, there's so many layers to him.
Yeah. Fun guy.
Yeah. And I mean, the voice acting is phenomenal. Lance Reddick does such a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
You know what they did really well?
What?
Misspelling all the names in a nice way. Like, silence is not spelled like silence, and Aloy is not... Well, I guess it's... Yeah, it's not spelled like alloy.
Yeah.
Or pronounced. But, like, there's a lot of words that are misspelled, and I think it's so very sci-fi of them. I really like that. It's the little things.
Yeah, like, they're... And I think more generally, the naming, I think, makes a lot of sense. So it's very like a lot of people's names. It feels like maybe what you could imagine, like a lot of cultures probably had for names, like very mm-hmm. early on. Like a lot of them are just like two sounds put together. or like one sound. I don't know. They're just like, they're very name-like. But also kind of have this kind of like, I don't know, like they feel like prototypes of names. Like
yeah.
You know how like you can go and look at like your name and you can look up like the origins of it. And like usually it has some kind of more, I don't know, like guttural simplified form that was kind of the original version. Mm-hmm. And then over time it's been refined and spelled better and all this stuff. And I feel like that's what all their names are, kind of like the prototype names of like other of like modern names in some ways.
What was the name of her teacher guy in the beginning?
Rost.
Yeah. So yeah. Like Aloy and Rost, you know, very metallic.
Yeah.
But also like
Aloy and Rust. That one is pretty clear where they kind of got that from. So. And silence because he's like, I don't know, all mysterious.
He's like a whisper.
I don't know about Varl though.
It's just Carl.
He's just Carl.
There's always a Carl.
What about Errand? Because he sends you on a few quests. He's an Errand.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of puns in these. There's isn't there like a Heliod or something?
Hellas. The leader of the Shadow Carja.
Yeah, which is ironic. He was also like a hell of a bad guy.
Yeah, like another great abs guy.
So many abs.
This game, if you like abs, you need to play this game. There's so many abs. This is the ab. Like, Overwatch is the butt game. This is the abs game.
Yes. And the designs of the clothing. I honestly never care about, like, in games like these where you don't necessarily design a character, you just have, like, different skins.
Yeah.
I never care about that. Like, every once in a while, if there's one that I really like, I'll change it. But in this game, I think I change skins constantly because they're all so beautiful.
Okay. What are your favorites? Let's go through them if you remember.
Let me look them up.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with my favorite, which is the Karjus Shadow Stalwart, which I will send to you now, which is kind of supposed to be like a stealth armor, and it's got this really awesome, like...
Yeah, I really like that one.
Yeah, it's got this vibe that's, like, very, like, I'm going to do some sneaking, and I don't know, just, like, all the armor sets have, like, these animalistic qualities to them. And I love the white metal plates that are feathers by her head. I don't know. Just everything about it is so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the armor sets are beautiful. Did you do all the quests to get the, like, shield armor?
Which one was that? I know there's...
Okay, so there was, like, that special armor that was protected by, like, a bunch of force fields.
I think so.
And you had... Okay, you had to do all these quests around the world to unlock it.
Yeah, I think I did. It's the, like, kind of, like, energetic one. The energetic...
Yeah, the shield... The, yeah, yes.
The sparkly,
the shield shiny. Weaver armor.
The LED again, one.
And, yeah, yeah, like, it caused a shimmer. It was... That one was so cool, too, once I got it, and... Oh my god, it was so perfect. Anyways,
I think,
what are your favorite armors?
Let me see. They're so hard to find on Google. It's really letting me down. I liked the Hunter one, like with the net. Something about it was really satisfying.
Which one is that?
Silent Hunter. There's the heavy Silent Hunter armor.
Ah.
That has like the green netting around.
Yes,
it.
Yeah, yeah. The kind of almost has like, yeah. Okay.
I really like the Karja Silks, the light one, because guns out, sun's out. And there was another one with abs that I wore for a very long time.
Are you talking about the Karja Blazon?
Let me see. Yeah.
Yeah, that one was a favorite of mine, too.
The Master one I liked.
Yeah, yeah, yep, yep.
Specifically that one.
I love the whole, like, I feel like that one transcends from like the other ones that have this kind of geeky vest vibe, but this one adds this like bandolier instead, and it makes the outfit really good.
Yeah, you're no longer Aladdin.
Yeah, you're no longer Disney's Aladdin. Yep.
But anyway, like everything about this game is just fun mechanically. Yeah. That's the thing. I find it very, very difficult to play video games just because, like, I need to be in a very specific mindset. And I haven't been in that mindset for, like, 4 or 5 years now. And this is one of the last games that I actually managed to play, like, in full and with enjoyment.
Yeah.
When did Andromeda come out?
That came out in 2018?
Let me see. Mass Effect...
Wait, but you probably played The Last of Us Part 2, which came out in, like, 2020, right?
2019.
2019.
It wasn't? No, so 2020. You're right. I think it came out on the 19th.
Yes, this definitely came out before.
Yes.
Last of Us Part 2.
So, I played that and Andromeda, which came out in the same year. I think I was actually playing them back-to-back. I don't remember which one I did first. But it was those two, and then for 2 years I didn't play anything. And then, of course, The Last of Us got released. I played that. And since then, I still haven't played anything else either. Like, I really miss playing video games.
Then just play some video games,
every
dude.
Time I turn it off, I turn it on, I turn it off right away. I don't know, like, I just don't want to.
I think you just need to, like, sit down and, like, sometimes you just have to force yourself to, like, get into it a little bit.
I know. You know what I've been kind of craving?
What?
The Godfather game was so fun. Kind of want to get back to playing that game.
I have no idea what game that is. Of all the things I thought you were going to say, the Godfather game was not the thing
it's
that I
so
thought was going
to
come out of your mouth. What the heck?
It is so niche. You just play as like a fella who looks like Joe Jonas. Hold on.
Okay.
Play as this fella. And okay. You're just like making your way through the Godfather.
Like, was this in like game. PS2? What was this on?
Let's see. I think it was unfortunately fairly 2006. It was.
Oh yeah, that was really recent, dude.
I don't mean recent like now. I mean like one of the recent PlayStations. But no, it was not. It was PlayStation 2.
Yep. Yeah, I recognize PlayStation 2 era graphics.
I played it on
dude.
The PC though.
Okay, but still, you want to play
a 2006 video game.
Yeah. Okay.
It had really fun mechanics because you could like take over the city and you can become the Don, and it, like had a fun leveling system.
Okay. You know, if you want to play the Godfather game, more power to you. It just wasn't what I thought you would say.
You play games pretty often.
Yes.
I'm very jealous.
I mean, but there's a strategy to it, because I definitely have the same thing where there's this inertia where, like, sometimes you just, like, feel like, ugh, you know, like, do I really want to play a game, or can I just sit on my sofa and browse whatever stupid thing I'm browsing? But, like, once I get into it, I realize that I'm doing something that I'm having much more fun than I would have been if I just sat there browsing Reddit. So sometimes I just have to force myself to turn it on and start playing a little bit, and like 15 minutes of it, I'm into it.
I have like substituted that's... video games with D&D live plays and stuff, so like Critical Role, Dimension 20, things like that.
I can't do too much of that. Like, I could do the Adventure Zone, mainly because I could listen to that on my way to work.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I don't have a commute most of the time, and I don't know, like, I just can't, I have to have some reason that I'm otherwise occupied,
or else I don't absolutely. Really. I have to be doing like, chores.
Yeah, like, I don't know, It scratches a totally different itch. Like, and so many times I get so annoyed when I'm listening to some of these D&D games and they're doing something wrong. And I really have to, I know, like, it just bugs me sometimes. It's just like, I don't know, there was one Adventure Time Adventure Zone I was listening to. And, you know, they always play fast and loose with the rules, but they really messed something up. And I just, like, was sitting there, like, biting my thumb, like, I can't, they're just totally screwing up the rules for this.
Nah, but anyways, I'm fine with people, like, not going by the rules.
Let me suggest something to you. What if you put on the D&D play on, like, your phone?
I've tried.
And played a game at the same time.
I have tried. Despite needing a lot of, like, stimulation to the brain space to pay attention to things, it is also very distracting. So I wasn't able to focus on either.
Interesting, because I definitely, whenever I'm playing big open world games, like, maybe not Horizon, because it's so story-based and I'm always so into it that, like, I didn't need a thing, but, like, when I was doing my second playthrough of Elden Ring, or when I'm playing any of the Zelda games, I like to just have, like, a podcast on. And then I'll, like, pause it if there's, like, a big battle or an important moment. But, like, something about those vibes of, like, just riding a horse around while I'm listening to podcasts and, like, collecting crafting materials or whatever. It's wonderful to me.
I listen to a lot of podcasts when I, like, play a game.
Yeah. And yeah, why can't you do that with one of those, I don't know, Dimension 20 or whatever?
That's an excellent question.
Yes. That's what I'm here for.
I don't know. I think because I want to pay attention to both, and it's the same sort of activity. It's both storytelling, right? So, like, if I'm watching Dimension 20 and I'm, like, doing laundry, I'm preoccupied, but I'm still listening. But if I am, like, watching Dimension 20 and then playing, like, a colony building game or something, then it kind of hits the same entertainment spot, and I'm not really able to enjoy either.
Interesting. Well, I mean, we all have our different ways of engaging with media, and I'm not going to judge you for however you want to do it, but...
Although when I do get into a game...
Good games.
When I do get into a game, it is very fun. For example, yesterday, playing Mario Kart, like, haven't played in years.
Valve did really well at Mario Kart for someone who had not played in years. She, like...
I played in middle school on the DS... It was a field trip where we went to one of those olden towns where they make, like, the historical towns with the butter and whatever. And I immediately lost it. Or it was stolen, one or the other. Like, as an adult, I'm like, oh, it got stolen. But as a kid, I was like, I dropped it somewhere. And that was, I think, the last time I played Mario Kart.
So Val's just flexing. She didn't... This was all just natural talent.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
I did kind of remember
it. I will
it.
Note that I won the first.
You were really, really good. Yeah.
I will not claim any natural talent. I will say that, like, I played a lot of it when it came out a couple years ago. So I have practice under my belt.
You did handily beat me at the skateboarding game over and over. I could not get the hang of it.
Tony Hawk?
Yeah. The skating game.
Yeah, but you just
didn't grow have up the with... Didn't have the controls reversed.
You had a lot of things messed up. I don't even remember what was going on with your controls.
I think halfway through I'm like, why is it not listening to what I'm telling it to do? And then we went into the settings and it was just like inverted by default. It was so weird.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, because some people like the inverted camera and some people don't. I guess when someone said it like that, I don't know. Do you like inverted camera or not?
No, as you've seen, it messed me up. But also, like, I didn't get better after we fixed it either, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, like, Tony Hawk, I feel like, was such a foundational experience of playing that, like, on the PS1.
Oh, absolutely. It was
that those one skills
of my favorite games.
Came back.
That even though I'm not very good.
You go online and you play against people, and people are just, they're getting like 500,000 point combos, and meanwhile I'm over here like, I got 8,000 points and I feel great. So it's
I'm like, I got 500? Is that good?
it's not great. To be honest.
No, I know. I was really bad at that game.
I'm just
I know you're sassy. Razzing. I know. Do you want to get back to Aloy?
Yeah, and her
fun adventure.
Did you play the DLC?
I did not. It came out. Maybe it was like hinted at very heavily in the game, and then it didn't come out for a few months. So by that point, I was already like past that. I was already done with the game, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, that was the thing.
Yeah, it came out like. The game came out, let's see, in February, and the DLC didn't come out until December.
Yeah, it was a while, and by that point, I think I was just like, I didn't want to get back into it. I didn't remember most of it, you know. I do really like how the planet machines were designed into the world. Like, they're so pretty.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous game.
It's just very beautiful.
And I like the way that the different robots, like, I don't know, some of them flock, some of them are solitary.
Mm-hmm.
Some will come out of the ground. There's just a lot of behaviors, and it just always felt like, the world felt like such a surprise, and there were so many different little things to find. I don't 100% a lot of games, but I 100%ed Horizon Zero Dawn.
Me either, but I think I completed most of it. Like, a very large chunk of it I finished, which, yeah, so rare.
It's just such a good game. And I do think there were some, like, things that were, I don't know, I'm just trying to think, like, what were some things that were downsides? I do think the kind of quote-unquote bosses were a little forgettable.
Yeah, they're all pretty similar. It's all like robots doing a thing. And I think the world was just like, it was such a small area, but it had so many different societies.
It did feel really jammed together, but I'm okay with that, because I feel like the sequel spreads it out a bit more, and I honestly found that a little annoying.
Like, to me, it was more so the fact that, story-wise, it didn't make sense why so many of them were so separated. Even though you're like, you literally walk 20 feet south, and there's another tribe over there.
Yeah.
So, like, that was the only part.
And yet, you don't talk to each other, and you hate each other, and I don't know, like, yeah.
Yeah. But also, as someone who hates traveling in video games, I appreciated it a bunch.
Yeah.
Like, fast travel. Just don't make me walk anywhere. I do not care.
Make me walk the first time, and then I can fast travel after that. That's fine.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think any other downsides that you can think of.
I would say, like, there wasn't actually romance, which could be a downside, but I didn't mind it.
No, I totally disagree.
Sorry. Yeah, I was going to say, like, I didn't actually mind it. It's usually something that I would be like, well, why are they putting this mechanic? Not mechanic, but like, why are they putting this into the game if it's not going to be a mechanic or anything? But with this one, I was like, no, that's fine. It makes sense. I really like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I like the idea of no romance. I like the idea of asexual Aloy as an icon for, like, being flirty but not having to act on it.
Yeah. It was, it also, like, really, really matched her character. Like, it was, very much her, where if there was a romance, I would have been like, that's not what she would do.
No.
And
she's too busy. she's got stuff.
Yeah,
to do.
She has a checklist.
Yeah.
And I
do
like.
You see all those icons on the map. Do you think those are just going to help themselves?
And I like that all the characters that flirt with her fully understand.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, unattainable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think just that, like, the weird mismatch of map size versus whatever, like, the story is the only thing that really, I was like, they're neighbors, yeah. Next door neighbors. They're closer than some houses, like, outside of New York are to each other.
Although I really did like the map. Like, I like the Colorado, Wyoming, Utah area, which I feel like is not often explored in a lot of games. And there's a lot of neat stuff that is going on there. I don't know. Even though it's, like, very different from the actual area, because it's a lot more jungly than those areas really are, I think. But...
What? Is that not how those areas look? Wyoming is not a jungle?
Not quite.
Oh. Well, as an immigrant, I, you know, didn't really know that.
Okay.
I actually really, really loved that. That it was, like, such a kind of familiar place, but also so very foreign.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just, like, this game is just very much environment, and it is so fun. I really like it. I'm glad that we're talking about it, even though it doesn't have a lot of substance because we're just gushing about, like, the different aspects that worked. But it is a very well put together game.
Yeah.
And I think the
story... I think it was... Oh, I just want to say, I think it was such a surprise, too, because, like, is the company who made it, Guerrilla Games, you know, like, their big thing was, before this, was a game series called Killzone.
Yeah, that's them? Cool.
You know Kills...
I think I didn't enjoy playing it. I played, like, once.
I hear the name Killzone, and I know, like, this game is not for me.
No.
Like, just based on this name, this is not a game I ever need to play in my entire life. And so, knowing that the company that was famous for the Killzone games made Horizon Zero Dawn is just so, so different, I feel like.
Yeah, it's bizarre for sure. But, you know, we'll take the wins.
Yeah, no, not complaining. Let me ask you this question. As your perspective as someone who has not played Forbidden West and probably knows very little about what's in it, like, what would your hopes be for what is in Forbidden West?
I know very little, but I do know that we are, like, traveling west, which is actually, like, something that I was really...
You don't say.
which is something I was very curious about in the first game. I was like, this is such a small part of the world. I want to know what the rest of it looks like. And they actually, like, they did it. What I would like to know...
Or what would you like to see? Like, what would improve upon the game for you?
Definitely more information on, like, not just Pharaoh and Sobek, but the other people that worked with them. I was always curious as to, like, what type of person is in this program, because we only know of them as, like, shadow people that we meet in a flashback where Ted kills them. So a little bit more about, like, how the situation came to be actualized. Yeah, I think that was pretty much... I just want to see how the past crashed and burned in a more substantial way. Are we gonna get that? Do we get it?
I don't know. Guess you're gonna have to play it and find out.
Always encouraging me to explore more media.
Yeah.
Really homophobic.
I know. I'm really awful. I'm a bad friend.
Yeah. Making me do
so
much
work. A lot of people tell me this. Okay. Do you have any final thoughts, Val?
No, this was very scatterbrained, but...
That's okay.
I do have a final thought.
Okay.
Like, it's really cool that you're a doctor now.
Oh, God.
That's right. Chloe got her doctorate, which is why we're a little less prepared than usual, talking about a game that I played, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, thank you, Val. Yeah.
And then we celebrated, and it was fun.
It was a fun night. Thank you so much for the flowers, by the way. Although they're slowly starting to... I have to get rid of them probably the next couple of days, which makes me sad.
They lasted a while, though. Nice.
Yeah, yeah, they did last, despite my cat's best efforts to destroy them.
Justice has done nothing wrong ever. Okay, so...
Yeah, yeah.
That's that on okay. that.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. I just want to mention our social media. Our Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest is @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez. And our Tumblr is...
thepodinmedialez.tumblr.com.
Our website is inmedialez.com. And you can email us at inmedialez@gmail.com. And we have a Discord server now. And, you know, it's small but good. And you can come hang out with us and tell us what we should do or yell at us or troll us, whatever you want to do.
You can yell at Chloe.
The link is in the description.
And we'll see you in the next one.
Okay, I'm going to do something different for this outro because I wrote this today on another Discord server I'm on, and I want to do this because...
As you should.
Okay. The Brigham Young Virginity Club posted this. No, you're not an icon. You're not a slay queen or an e-boy. You're a sinner. Which made me think about this like youth pastor-esque thing that I wrote, and I need to read it for you. Uh-huh. Hey guys, let me tell you about a very special e-boy who no cap wants you to be a slay queen. On God, fam, just by knowing him and praising him, you can stop being mid and be born again in his vibes. I'm talking about the GOAT, so bussing that he makes those who are sus big mad. He was so lit that his glow up brought him back to save our souls with his bougie father's love. If you understand this assignment, you'll know all you have to do is become his stan to pass this vibe check.
And that's how Christianity was born.
You're welcome.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss new episodes. Also, it helps us grow, and we appreciate every single one of you who follows. And if you like us, tell a friend. Just be like, hey, these two lesbians are talking about other lesbians, gays, and like really queer people, and sometimes they even talk about non-binary folk. Once again, thanks for listening, and we appreciate you.